And a lot of people think that they don't pray real loud if you don't get anywhere. Well, the only reason you pray real loud is to keep your thoughts collected. You've got other things come in while you hear yourself talking, so you can actually whisper. You're able to concentrate. Prayer also needs to meditate. Many people don't realize that the form of prayer is meditation. And to meditate upon the Word and to judge yourself while you're doing it and think in terms of God helping you, that's a tremendous form of prayer. It also needs pouring out. In other words, many people don't have the ability sometimes to come to God according to that Word. But it's the pouring out of the heart of the Lord. Now, all of these things are involved in prayer. And you can see if you boil it down, that folks are such pretty well comfortable with all of what prayer is, and that's some needy one coming to someone who can supply the need. Now, of course, there again, in prayer, we have to realize when we come to God, He can supply our need. We must realize He will supply our need according to His Word. If it isn't in the Word, we have no right to ask for it. If it is in the Word, then we have every right to ask for it. And then not only ask for it, sometimes we need to condition it. And so prayer is the needy one coming to God who is able to supply all of the needs. Now Paul says, pray for us. Now this is what he tells the people to do, to pray for him. And I'm going to associate this with the pastor particularly and those ministering who are trying to do a service for the people by living for the Lord. Now, the 17th verse is why Paul tells the people to pray for him. He petitions them to pray for him. Now, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your soul, that they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. The reason that Paul requested prayer is because of his responsibility that he had before Almighty God, before the people. And the notice in here that he said, pray, obey them that have the rule over you, and of course pray for them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your soul. Now, the watching for the souls of men is the greatest responsibility that anybody can have placed upon him, is to watch for somebody else's soul, to be a keeper of that soul. You know, back in the Garden of Eden, rather after the Garden of Eden, when Cain killed his brother, the Lord said, where is your brother? And he said, am I my brother's keeper? He said, what have I got to do with him? Well, he had a lot to do with him, and because he was the elder. And he's the one who could have shown some affection and care for his brother, but he didn't do it. Now, when you come to the pastors and the elders and those who have the authority, you will notice that they are those who are usually the elders by way of their training in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because God never set a novice over anybody. He never did. They've got to have their training and be brought up under qualified men in order that they will not be deceived themselves, and thereby the congregation will not be deceived. We have a little bit of problem today amongst young men who just simply want to rise up and go ahead and be ministers. This is just absolutely impossible. It is not in the Word of Almighty God. Now, we're not against you, but we are against an experiment. Because the Bible does not countenance anybody attempting to take authority over another without a real down-to-earth experience which they garner by serving the Lord in various capacities over a good period of time. Now, in the book of Ezekiel, you'll find that God said, my man, I made you a watchman. I set you a watchman. And there isn't anybody in the fivefold ministry or in any office whatsoever in the church who is not a watchman. They are definitely watchmen. Even the deacon is a watchman. Brother Graham said, I'm going to ordain deacons, and they're going to be the deacon in the church. And of course, they do beauty, which may seem a little menial in the eyes of some folks who want a little more elaborate ministry, such as in the Word. But the deacon is a call to teach the Word. And the elder is the one who's more apt to teach and would do something along that line. But anyway, Paul says here, now these watch for your soul. And he was watching for men's soul. And so no wonder Paul the Apostle asked for help, which would be in the prayers of the people. And of course he was wise in doing this, because if he ever got the people praying for him, then they'd be more submissive to what he would have to tell them. In one place he also says that, pray for me that I may have boldness. And that word boldness in the Greek is freedom of speech. It comes from the word pardesia, which means to be not afraid to speak up under every consideration. In other words, to take a place of leadership. Now, if you look around, what you're going to find here in America and in any place in the world, you're going to find the same thought even in politics. The statesmen are those who speak up. They say, this must be done, that must be done, the other thing must be done. And they get the statesmen, and they say, now go ahead, you people. Now, you just cannot help but see that legislation comes by speech. Even God legislates by speech.
God said, let this be done. Don't let that be done. Do this and don't do that. And the whole thing is a matter of legislation. Of course, not only does God hesitate, he gives the Holy Spirit in order to enable us. But you can see here that when these men are saying a prayer for us, you understand that it has to do with the spoken word ministry. Because they are going to do their best to bring the word of Almighty God, and they are watchmen who are doing it. Now, in order to also obey them, they have the rule over you. Who has the rule over us? There's only one person has the rule over us, and that's the Holy Spirit. But how indiscriminate is the Holy Spirit? He is not indiscriminate. The Holy Spirit is absolutely bound by the Word of God, for he will not speak concerning himself, but he speaks concerning the things of Almighty God. Now, if these men are going to preach the Word, they're going to rule over anybody, they have got to be by the absolute, unchanging Word of Almighty God. You know, I remember that I mentioned some time ago, and a brother from India said to me, he said, Brother Dale, how many parts of, well, what does the body mean? And I said, many members. No. I said, look, don't play games with me. The Bible says the body is made of many members. What have you got in mind? He said, has it got a head? Well, show me in the Bible where the body is head, trunk, and limb. Now, that's okay for a physiologist. It's okay for a doctor. But for a preacher to say that, it's heresy. And I said, all right, okay, it's got a head. If it's the Christ that defended word. Right away, he said, no, we're head but a spirit. I said, don't give me that nonsense. I can't buy that. And I wouldn't buy it. He wanted you to listen to him. Why, we've got a vindicated prophet with a revealed word to listen to. It's not what somebody thinks. And so it's not a matter of obeying the Holy Spirit, per se. It's a matter of obeying the Word, because the Holy Spirit itself is bound by the Word. It's the prophet himself said for 2,000 years the Holy Spirit is bound by Scripture and dogma for the first time he heard. And if we want the Holy Spirit reached among us to bring in that free faith, it's got to be by the Word. Not what somebody thinks about the Word, or somebody's got his own ideas running off me out, but an vindicated Word. So Paul the Apostle brought the Word. And he said, okay, then to have the rule over you who teach to you the Word of God. Not what somebody thinks the Word of God is, but what the Word of God really is. That's what really counts. And today, thank God, of course, we keep repeating, we have a vindicated word to obey. And if the prophet said a certain thing, then just do it. I do admit the prophet never told us to do very many things that were given us. This message is one of real grace and sincerity. And if you just check on everything the prophet said to do, you're going to find the very, very few things the prophet ever told us to do. Now, Paul says here, then obey them and have the rule over you, and submit yourself to them. Because you're not submitting yourself to them, you're submitting yourself to the word of Almighty God. Now, they are watchmen, and they're going to have to do according to what that word of God says for them to do. And Paul knows that it's a very difficult position to occupy. Now, I realize that some people just love to be preachers. Well, I wish I'd just love to be a preacher myself, but I know just love to be preachers. And Brother John said, I've known all my life when I was called. If I'd like to get away from it. And I'd like to leave it. Why? Because there's a tremendous responsibility, not only implied, but in which the pastor or the minister is involved, and most of it, not all of it, but a great part of it, is doing those things which are unpleasant because they involve personality clashes. And that's the bad thing right there. That's why Paul said, pray for it. And I hope I inspire you to begin praying for your pastor with an understanding you haven't had before if you hear this message. This is the point of the whole thing. Not to give you doctrine, but to stir you up, to pray for those people who don't want the job, but have been given the job, and therefore now they have a couple of hard pulls. They've got the pull to be obedient to God, they've got the pull to be disobedient to God, because they might be getting away from it. They must take on the responsibility. It is Paul's wanted prayer because it is very hard to speak to people who need gentleness. I realize that many people just love to get into the battle swing, and they think that's one way to really run a church. But let me tell you, preaching over the pulpit and laying down the word of God is simple alongside of the need of a pastor to go to people when they're wrong. Because most people don't want to control their wrong. If there's something there which is a message before rises up, that old thing called pride, when God went to Cain, and remember God dealt with Cain perfectly. And he talked to Cain, he said, now Cain, I want you to straighten up your worship. And of course Cain wouldn't do it. And Cain didn't want to be corrected. He hated it. And of course because he didn't take correction, he lost out with God. He became crooked and a vagabond and a fugitive. Now let's face it, when God delegates anybody by the Holy Spirit to use the corrected word, and the word is given to the individual, and the individual will not take it, then that person can actually become a fugitive and a vagabond in the sight of Almighty God. Now we know when God dealt with Jonah. Jonah didn't want to take God. What happened? don't understand the future from God. You see? We must learn to take correct and carry a heart for anybody who is in the authority to take the authority upon him and go and speak where discipline is needed. Now, this is one reason why the pastor and the elders must be a disciplinarian in his own home. Now, I know that many pastors, they love their children, and they just want to be united. But if you look at the history of the Old Testament, you're going to find that everyone in authority literally destroys himself and his family by taking a soft attitude. I don't even know how you have to do. You're going to run down and make the kids line up and follow 15, 1, 2, 3, and all my stuff today, and down the hell, food and stuff like that. I'm talking about demanding the respect that they must give in the home to parental authority and to Almighty God, knowing even that elders outside the family are also to be listened to. There's not enough respect taught in the home. There isn't today. Now, you just begin to realize, as I say, how difficult at times it is for a man to assume the responsibility of gaining respect and authority in the home and then transfer that to a congregation. Why then, if a man can't rule his own home, he's not going to have this much of a chance in his own congregation. And now the rest is supposed to be a real help to the pastor, or the elder, or the evangelist, or the teacher, or the prophet, or the apostle, every care nurse. And most of them are because they need wives in order to do duty, which would be difficult to do without having a wife. Now, let's say that wife doesn't say listen to his authority. Then, if he doesn't listen to his authority, then what kind of job is he going to have when he attempts to do something for the flock? He's going to fall flat in his face. Now, if a woman says, well, I love my husband, and as Brother John said, the woman is a part of the man's ministry, then there's one thing she's got to recognize, that if anything she's going to do, it's to pray for her husband as he exercises authority in the home. Now, she's got a double job to do. He just can't sit around and do his own thing. Be a good wife to him, which is all good. That's one of them. He's got a ministry by cooking and sewing and taking care of the children. But all the woman can pray, as long as her hair is long. If her hair is cut short, she knows she's going to get pregnant. They're not going to get past her nose. She got no right to pray. She's not going to walk out even as a minister to husband. You haven't got to do. You start talking about your wrong things and things. You just cut it all off. You just destroy yourself. But her job is to pray. That's the congregation to pray. Because they know that this man has got to do these things. Now, if you've got some in the congregation over here, you're just an old man, talking to being low, then what's that going to be for? So, you've got to pray for the man to have the fortitude to not only live that life, if he's stuck there living that life, but to be able to go in the congregation as well as in home and be a figurehead and a father image of proper discipline within the church, because the people must be told where they're wrong. Now the strange thing is that I believe not strange thing, but I believe this. It's true that if they're really a baptized with the Holy Ghost, they want someone to come and tell us where they're wrong. And of course they won't come and tell us, look here, you're wrong, man, right? They'll just say, well, now Jack, you're not here. But there's a better way of doing this than what you're doing. And that's the way the word is offered. That's what Brother Graham told us to do. Now he said, you don't go to somebody and tell them you're all wrong. And you don't go to that sinner and say, well, look here, you better stop your suffering and your bruising and you're carrying on with the real telling you you're going to go to hell, isn't it? You don't do that. He said, you're going to tell that man, look, I like you, but you have to watch it. And you know something? There's a better life than you realize. That way there is a discipline there, and there is a help that is good. So it's hard to speak to people in these disciplines. It's difficult, very difficult. It's difficult in the home sometimes, but shouldn't be. Because you're beaten down by God, and you're very fast at being a father to cause a man to do that. But there is a thought of going to people. As I say, it's difficult, but you're a watchman. You must go, and because they must go and say the right thing, utter the right thing, do the right thing, this there is required. Another thing that's very hard to meet people on. You know what I want to tell you, but I'm not stopping that yet. I kind of smile, I must admit that I go to people under my breath, because I know that hardly any church is out. And yet, after the people have been warned, after they've been dealt with, and they persist, there's only one thing left for the preacher to do, and that's to call them by name before the whole congregation. I'm going to go to that home over there. But you've got to go to that, you just give me that. He said, that's the Bible. We read before all, we're almost here. And you don't do that until our last resort. And that's not turning over to Satan either. I want to tell you, before that, Brother Janet Jesus said, every time one day he lowered the moon and said, sit this, God, and sit down. Now you say, what a terrible thing. Not a terrible thing at all. Because those Satan's up there in that frozen earth, a bunch of them off that. Not a terrible thing at all. The people just don't have any idea of the authority of the Word of God that speaks on a dedicated man's lips. They just say, oh, we've come together to hear a sermon. Oh, wasn't it nice this morning you got blessed? That isn't it at all. The brother down said, we don't come here to the fellowship, we come here to be corrected. And correcting means that you begin doing the thing that you thought wasn't much to do it, or there's no correction. Or of course, it also means freedom. It means to change your thinking. And if the thinking isn't changed, then there's a meeting with God. There must be a constant change going on. That's the process of work. The other man is heresy, but the inner man brings a new. I hear most of us are getting up in years, not most of the laws are getting up in years, but even though you're a little silly, that's not it. You're still getting up in years, and your sense is changing, and your body's changing. Absolutely. You may be that 20-some years, but I was thinking about, say, 32 years ago, you'll see how it starts to go on down here. Up into that point, now you're running up the other to get out of my way. Because all the people are passing time taking your legs. You ready to get married, you watch that, you back down here too. And now look, you're changing physically, and you're going down here physically, but we all are going up here spiritually. That picture that Brother Gannon had, those flames of fire before you all, you know that one was taking him grassy hit the thing of West California, the brother running red. God explained that to Brother Gannon. That kind of death into that. And he said, that's the other man's charity, but the inner man is being renewed. And so we know that the Word of God is preached to us, and the preacher deals with us because he wants to see a change. He wants a change in himself. Day by day, he wants a change in the people. And as I say, difficult to rebuke before all. And you don't wonder if you ever think of that sometimes, to pray for the man, the door, in order, if it's necessary, to rebuke, openly to rebuke. And I remember a good brother of mine, he said, I preach them up. He said, I laid all my scriptures. I don't tell any people anything what I'm talking about. I go to that Bible there, and I take a church out of that Bible to fix that person. And after I preach on that, they won't get to him. He said, and I begin preaching more. Then I go to that person, I talk. And he said, the day comes, I'm going to do it. He said, I call him by name over the pole. He said, there is a whole congregation up. He said, you want to get to walk close to God. Because in those days, he's that church. They have left the sanctuary of God. They have defied that word. They have defied Almighty God. If he didn't say amen, it's about time he smartened up and go fall the same trap that person fell. And you know, that's the man. You know, a lot of people don't want him. I don't want him. I don't want him to be on. That's why I think about preachers he's read. You think I don't want to call somebody by name? No more than that. What a nasty thing. I know some people use the Greek word that says, oh, that's a bad thing, you can't do it. The Bible says so. And they expect this guy, Brother Brown, he's preaching on that. He said, that's preaching on. And he said, you say that's your fault. He put it on. And so that wasn't their fault. It was for anybody who had any authority in the church of Almighty God to stand up there with that word and call it faith to faith. Now it's also hard to do it. You know, that's what a preacher's got to do with that. In other words, you say, who's the first person they call in? Well, he's the man they call and let him go. But there's many times he's got a son. And then there's a difficult decision. Because, you know, it looks like it might go a certain way here, might go a certain way there. What if the best of his knowledge, according to what he knew that word, he gave a wrong decision? See, it might be something to do with a personal question dealing with a fine line. I'm not going to try to illustrate anything, but just let you know that this also comes up, where he's got to make decisions. What if he made the wrong one? There's nothing clear-cut, you know? I find myself, people come and say, Brother Bill, what am I going to do? I put in the message, my wife divorced 2 years ago, and I found out this about her, that about her, and they say, now, look here, you think I can remarry? And I say, as far as I'm concerned, I believe you could remarry. But I'll tell you, there's a problem here, to get the word from God, you better stay single. Now, the best I can do is tell a man to stay in a bad position. I believe in many, many cases. Brother Brown said, if you follow either extreme line, you follow this. There's a middle of the road there. The middle of the road. What are you going to tell a person? You can't tell them all that you're not a prophet. You don't understand some things. The only thing you can do is hear as far away from the pit as possible. And you still might be telling them something wrong. See? What are you going to do? You can just do the very best you can. Now, a lot of people don't understand that. Because a lot of the preachers, I went to him and he couldn't help me. See? Well, the preacher's not God. He doesn't understand everything. Brother Brown didn't understand everything. He even said the prophet didn't understand everything he saw. Everything God told. There are some things that are very difficult. But then it's got to come to a place, some action must be required. See? Now you can't be very foolish like one person was. They asked him, there was a couple in there, he's got to come in the next. It was very unfortunate to take the air in. His wife was divorced him, and her husband was engaged. So they got together, just to get his man away. She had children, he had children. And now the country's been in the brother's church. What do? They want to be right with God. Did they live together? Did they get married? Did they stay that way? Did they rather own it? And I said, you found this separate. Under no conditions did they stay together. It's a terrible temptation. And another man went by and go over there. And he said, no, let them live together. And all the man was. I said, if that happens, it'll go wrong with your faces. It can't work. God's against it. I said, I know the scripture for that. But the man said, look, he said, I want to tell you. He said, you just let him leave that way and be counseled. So it wasn't too long for the thing blew up. Then it was a terrible mess. The pastor called the man in and said, you, we took your word because you're old. And you're wrong. See what happened? You that man said, he didn't care about the word. He said, the Holy Ghost told me to say that. I can't think of that. How could the Holy Ghost tell that man so that people lived together? It was a terrible open temptation to sin. And the Bible said, free from the very appearance of that word of mission every morning. And they had no right to be in that house together. Get home is not related to him by being a sister or something. I'm sick of getting wrong advice. Now, I say the man was wrong. But maybe the fault of a lot of people, they weren't afraid of that fault. And he gave the wrong advice too. Because he was in a position to be called upon and say, brother, what do we do with this thing here? And now my answer was right. Because the pastor said, listen to me. Because he knew the other man had no word. But if he had said, where do you get your authority? And the man would have said, the Holy Ghost told me to tell that. He said, that's the way right there. But he waited for the blow up in him. He was a terrible man. You can understand, we'll be terrible. There's just nothing to do. Wow! And he couldn't get anything else. Couldn't be saved. I said, do the right thing now. And sure, it was a hard thing. It was difficult on their flesh. But there's a lot of things that are difficult on their flesh. Some people want to get married. Sick phone that not long ago. His wife's mother didn't say. Brother Dan, my boy wants to get married. How old is he? 17 years old. Wants to get married. He said, what for? Well, I want to get married. He said, better than burn. I said, I'd burn like 25 times to stay home. He's not leaving. They don't have a word at all. Kind of nonsense is what I said, but they're young men. Yeah. What's all this talk anyway? Certainly, you must understand that men who are dealing with others are human. See? And sure they can be soft-hearted. Sure they can be tender-hearted. And they want to be nice to people and do nice things. But when it comes down to the word, God requires the preacher to stand up because he's the keeper of these men's souls. What do you keep a man's soul? You know, I can't keep anybody's soul. No pastor can keep anybody's soul. The word in the Greek many times, it means soul life. Like I said, you have to lose your hand and lose your soul. It means to give up something, to pay a price. It means to take a way where you're going to be literally cut off and cut down, as it were, even maybe choke in your life. Or lose a lot of the things you have in order to gain your soul life, which is what? Which is your life you're living here. These men are accountable that men live in such a way as to redeem the time and stand before God with a full measure of a devoted life and reward and glory that God sees. It's a tremendous burden placed upon them, but that's what it is. It's heartbreaking also to see backsliders. Now many times people come to congregation and they just walk up, they won't take any bread. And if something comes up hard, and they say, well, I won't go that way. And then they won't pay a price for it. Now you know there's one thing about it, and that's this. Anybody that comes into the church and will not take discipline, even when he's taught to, will not come back to reconciliation. There's something wrong with that person, whether it's you or whether it's me. Now that's faith. And that's going right on today, so there's no doubt I'm saying it. And I'm saying about Lee Bear and anybody out here, and anybody you know. But men cannot be corrected. When they will not buckle the word, there's something wrong somewhere. And if they're not Holy Ghost, they say they got, I'm not saying they don't have the Holy Spirit. I'm just saying something's wrong somewhere. And this is something that many a pastor has to stand the brunt of. The people will not be reconciled. How many times I've pastored churches where people won't be reconciled? And especially women. I don't think you women, but if anybody's got to watch out, the women have got to watch out. I know a lot of folks think they're mothers in Israel. They're smothered in Israel up here. They're smothered in even God. They don't foster. They're smothered right now. And the bunch of men are a lot more fun today. It won't work. You're the ones who need to succeed. And here's what happens to you with somebody, and getting a little picky with somebody else because it doesn't look good, and then the wife makes the husband off. I'm no rough on that one, but I'm just doing the truth with you. In fact, I'm going all the way to all the first places I know, it started amongst the women, very common amongst the men. Once in a while, you will get a man to start a fight and not very long. He's pretty well headed that way. So he's out of watch up. What happens then? The whole thing falls in the pastor's lap. Now, how's he going to handle it? Now, I go down south, and I have to say, you know, the brother's congregation, and I never talk with her, and something in my heart says, you watch her forget it. and you know what? You run your whole house. So the man comes in the next before the Lord. Now he's supposed to be in the Word of God, too. The pastor wrote to him and said, "Sir, I want to talk to you." And the minute he mentioned the man's wife, he said, "You just lay off of her now. I consider her a spiritual woman, and I let spirits of him fall on her now." He wouldn't get the garden going on. And she got troublemakers and ground up. Now he's down to bringing these things up. Well, what's the pastor going to do? People are going to look at him and say, "Now look here. He boozes, he did this, he did that." How many people are afraid here? How many people are praying and knowing that this is a job that they couldn't handle, that God may be somebody to handle it? Now, who's praying for the man that's got to handle these dirty jobs, so to speak? Now, they're not driven in the sense of their ability, but they're driven in the sense of the Bible, where there's no option to fill the tomb. That's right. Now, he rightly does not deceive that he can on this. You're going to go spend a lot of silver around. He said, now the fish that he's out there with this shovel, he's got to clean up. Now, this is the truth. How much praying is being done for men when you think along this line? "Oh, no, dear Lord, bless our dear pastor. He can see me in. He's a lovely sponsor, bless them. They're all doing good. Hallelujah. Love our background. The God is sweet and they're all through you." Now, listen, you see, that's next kind of praying, but it's not all the praying there is. Lord, give us a man who will listen. Give us a man, Lord, who will follow state of faith. And then my God, yeah, then you get through praying faith and look up, you can think of yourself. Because then the person will say, "Lord, that is the first thing here that we handle a situation," and you get a fellow that can handle a situation, they hit the fellow that handles. See, what you gotta do is understand that. So the man needs to meet the Lord of prayer. And because of these things, he's dealing with men's souls. And remember, they've got to give account on the day of judgment. Now, how would you like to stand up and give account to somebody? You say, "Well, I'm the head of my house, I'll account to my family." That's exactly right. The head of the house will, and so will the mother also. There's a day of accounting coming. There's going to be a day of accounting of how those children are brought up. How the parents are children down before them. Whether they let those kids lie and cheat, or set such examples that the child knew that he had no excuse whatsoever. Now, that's fine in your home. But what if you got around 15 to 20 families under one man, and he's got to give a top for every single person? Not a lot of preachers don't think that way. But that's the way the Bible thinks. They have to give a top for men's souls before God. They're responsible. Absolutely responsible with Scripture in the way Paul was. Now, that ought to make people think. That ought to make people pray. Not just make the preacher pray, because he never gets a vision of the fact that he is responsible, he'll pray. But what about the people praying? Now, when you consider this statement alone, you realize that there is no sickness, there is no problem in your own home that will touch this one. Get on the tongue of your friend. "Lord, that man's got a tongue, he's going to tell me he's a mouthful." Wow, three more hate you, bless God. There again, you see about human rights. I'm not even here. But this is what's wrong in the world. The Lord is in his spirit. It's in the church. And it's in the living. Lies up and says, "Well, I don't want to say it. I've got a tongue for myself. I can stand home to me." That's a lie in the pit of hell, because the Bible says your role and authority have got to count for your soul, and you can't do it yourself. That's look. I wonder how many Christians believe that. Sure, I believe I'm on the cross. But you hear one preacher confess to one fellow, "Well, it's the only reason I'm here is the money." He said, "And I can make a lot of it." He said, "So you say that?" He said that and a whole lot more. He said, "You better understand that. Not being picky now, I know this. But you better know he has the call of the Lord." How many people run here and run there? Can't settle down to a man of God. Will that man stand up and he wants the call of the Lord to be sure? So he's willing to give account to God for you? I don't give account to the devil. That's not true. That's one reason I love to the truth, even as a teacher, to get away from the whole thing, because I've got to give account in that day that I say. Well, that's not right or wrong. And I don't even stand before you as an example of the passage, because when we're up the road to hold your ear, how many people pray for? All we want to give account for ourselves, like a bunch of little kids. "Mom, don't hold my hand, I don't want that myself. Don't tell me how it is." You can get your own kids out of your grandkids come along and hold the same thing on. Right? You can grand parents here, I've got enough like my category, because you guys just got a little granddaughter, very cute little girl, but she likes to think she can do things too. And be independent. No, it's only worth so far. And call me David, well, I can do this, I guess. Listen, I don't know how to do it. There's somebody standing over you that's got to give a compliment to your soul. Now, they can, you don't care, and the preacher doesn't care, God does. So therefore, God's got to put an end, and he's got to give an account. And then if you've got to be given it, he's got to give an account for you, and then what kind of a person are you? And come on, see, you know, we don't have any kids anymore. Just go back in the last 3-4 years, we're in this message. And how many people do you know they wouldn't take this, they wouldn't take this at all? They have no more stand for this kind of Christian than us. They don't want a Christian like that. Says the Bible warns it that that's what's wrong with you. You were sick and dying. The Bible warns it. You turn this down, and you're in danger having your neck broke by God. And you don't have his neck broken? Yeah, I've had his neck broken. But he wasn't one of those that are in there. In your life, God keep her submissive. See, you're under authority. And that's why the man must be prayed for. Because he's got this job whether he wants it or not, which he knows he doesn't want it, but he's got to have it, and he is accountable. What manner of man he must be in order to give account to men's souls. The Bible says he's got to do it. There'll be a judgment then of some sort. Or it could be in this life. I'm not going to try to figure this whole thing out. It could be in this life, it could be in the afterlife. According to the vision of Brother Hannah had, it said he was going to be judged first what he taught, and then the Christ will come to the people, and he will redeem them. Will there be a judgment then for the fivefold ministry? For those that have the authority given by God? Will they have to stand up on that and give account to men's souls? Will it be at the white stone judgment, where men could have come in and been lost? But are lost? I don't have the answer. All I know is that they are accountable. God put it in authority. So therefore, it's a solemn thing for the man who is up behind the sacred desk and trying to work amongst the people to help them, and it's a solemn thing for the people. It's to pray for your own protection. God, keep our man 100%. Surround him by such prayer that you'll know that you're going to have all the help for this help of the earth. Now, not only that, but they must ever be on the alert for false doctrine. For a man to have a misunderstanding of God's word, according to Scripture, put him in a place of unpreparedness for the rapture. Now, you might not know that, but let's go to the book of Luke, the first chapter. Now, I'm going to say everything I can and back it up by the Bible, and if I can't back it by the Bible, then you see I've got to just stop preaching. Because there's no sense in me saying something I just think. But I've got to come for your soul this morning. Now, if I'm teaching you wrong, then I'm teaching you wrong, I've got to come for God. If you believe me, and I trust you'll be exonerated by the Lord, if I'm teaching you wrong, God will put it on my soul. But I'm sure he's not going to do it because I know what I'm talking about. He says in verse 17 of Luke 1, and he shall go before the Lord God of Israel in the spirit and power of Elijah, discern the hearts of the Father's servant, even the disobedient, to the wicked just, in order to make ready the prepared people. Now, that's what Elijah comes for. That's what William Branham came. He came in order for the election and to get ready to meet God. And without it, the hearts of the children cannot be turned back, which is in their misery, to meet the Lord in the air. Now then, what kind of a preacher is it? You're going to preach something other than this word. What kind of preacher is it who brought this word? Now Brother Dan said, it's up to you. He said, if I make a mistake, you come and see me. He didn't say, talk behind his back. He said, you come and see me. Now, there's not one of us who could make some kind of mistake. Well, I tell you what, I've looked over my gone back over sermons that week, and I realized make one little point out. God will have to preach. I remember Brother Dan and Chris spoke to me on the holy encampment of New Jerusalem. I think he had to go back and preach it. You go here, you go here with the kid, you'll find out that this Brother Dan actually did not make it clear to him. Anything he didn't make clear, you have to find out where he made it really clear. And that's why saying the heretic pope for pope, you've got to go to doctrine. And when you know the doctrine, that's what you set free. Now, so therefore the man must be prayed for. God's keeping in that word. But because you're influenced by his preaching. Why, if my people get up here, he could take the name Pope to tell you a bill of goods and get him out of what Brother Dan taught. This is taking pope by Lancaster, is Methodist and Baptist taking the Bible from each other. What did the prophet say about the subject? Why you got people so divided right now and messed up on the front of the verses? Why is it going to kill them? They think those five things prison are off. They're not. Brother Dan said all day that is the Holy Ghost. They're on the white stone judgment, and they're separate escape from the ghost they'll go in. Oh, I have to catch another time. What about those five clean virgins? Are they lost? He said, sure, because that was just filthy, 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 and that was the holy, holy, because he's telling you it don't make the rapture. It don't make the rapture. Just fuck around. So these men need prayer. So they'll be one with that word. Now, but also, they must not only beware of false doctrine, but they must keep themselves open for new life. And certainly, I've known that from the first year I was saved. Born again. Even before I was born again, I spoke to the man who said, we must never close our minds to it. I was pretty confident, like some of you folks. And I remember a man said, he said, our forefathers, we had the leaf, and our fathers had the leaf, or their vision, because their minds were closed. Today we have greater light. Let us always pray that our minds will not be closed to further light. And they close their minds just like that. The baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and one God. They were already closed to it, and they know. See? They're waiting the word. So, you must pray. You know, some people, I think, in this message, figure it out all. You're around, you can tell that you're in a hurry, you're right. Oh my, I tell you what, I must be very careful, I said, but you misunderstand, I think I'm a bitter recruit or something, but honestly, you know, if you can argue that you don't know they're sure they're right, you don't know they're extra feet, if it just can't be normal, honest agreement, godly people, you've got to have some kind of people. You can see the mile away, you can see the coming, yet the people are still deceived about it. Okay. Or they'll pick up something, you know, another thing you've got to purchase, the fact your spirit to take her. And truth and right. You know that you can be wrong in your spirit and letting it often? In other words, you're saying the very things the prophet said and line them up so that they are actually in line with what the prophet said in the context. And your spirit is so bad you can move off that word by saying that disbelieves the very truth by the word of truth. And you say, how can that be? How many people have taken you people away from the Holy Ghost by preaching against it from the very Bible? Most. I mean, you understand that and destroy the very word of God that Brother Dan gave the prophet. Many Christians never have any person to do it. And so we must pray for him, and that he will always be right, and never fail. The Lord God is in this way, and above all, will not fail you. See, I'm not trying to make yourself selfish, but let's face it. You've got a big faith in your thing. There's no longer saying, well, bless God, if I go to hell, I lost the company. Well, I sure don't believe in that kind of company. I've been in hospitals and beaten out of life. I've been in hospitals where they had hundreds of beds, and they took a knife, nose, and soda, and gave me a shot in the wrong place. But even the fact I've heard people groaning worse than you didn't help me one little bit. Not one little bit. I'm afraid the church is a little bit insensitive. Well, everybody's got problems. Everybody's got problems. How could you fool? Who could be? Oh, who could be right? Listen, brother, you better than that. And the Bible said, pray. That's one word. That's the best word. It's praise the Lord and authority. Now, these men also have set a standard, but others may fall. Paul said, be a follower of me. He said, I think I can trust my conscience, I'm leading you right. Now, Paul, your father didn't use your conscience. Now, how do you use your conscience? There are some times when the Word of God is not sufficient. And if the Word of God is not sufficient, then you just do your regular level best to line up what you know. But where it is sufficient, you line up with the Word. Now, Paul the Apostle brings that over there to get rid of the Indians, and you won't be ready. He mentions about the fact he said, don't receive anybody to adopt and just be taken, he said, because one man needs to eat, another man needs to eat. Somebody come along and say, now, would be better not to eat? That would be why he'd be better not to get. Now, you see, sometimes the Word of God is not sufficient on a certain day. All it is on that is that you need all you want, you need to take it, you want, cut up a chunk of that. I wouldn't want one myself, but I did, and I got you, and I did it. You know, you say, kind of substitute, all right, but he's something you enjoy that, isn't it? Okay, but all right. You might have to go there, but the heat keeps going up. You know, maybe it's just a test of the background or something. But there's all joking aside, the thing is this, where is the Word of God that condemns it? See? But there are other things that the Word of God specific on it. But I've got no scripture for it. But he said, if you want my judgment, I'll tell you. And that is it. Now, you see, do it all to me. According to Paul said, in my conscience, I know you can do it. Because he said, where I know the word, I follow it. And where I've got no word, I do my best to fear it in such a way nothing will get a hold of you and therefore hurt you. And now, Brother Grant started up by saying about Jesus said. Especially then and said, well, what would you buy a TV set? And he said, I'll tell you what. If you throw your TV set up and throw your radio and your newspaper and then your telephone, you get a telephone in your hand more than you need. Now, the thing is this, though. Later on, he said, clean up your house and rub off your bed. Somebody said, well, the thing is, we're getting a higher level. No, we're not. We're getting more of heaven. We're getting more people who condemn themselves as a thing to be allowed. Okay, well, Brother Brown didn't say to throw that in habit, brother. He wants to find a certification. And I admit there are people who can do that. For all of it. And submit that 99% can't.
So throw your feet and get up. That's the thing, you're telephone turning off the wall. Write letters and go downtown, grab your car, and talk to one of my workers.
Now that's what Paul said here, according to my conscience. He said, I'm doing everything I can by looking up to the word and steering it clear, that way will bring a person down. Now the other hand has Christmas tree. If you're worried about a Christmas tree and you can't get one right there, throw it out. If you're conscience is bothered myself, I wouldn't have one out of the way. I'm ready to throw Christmas out the door too. Easter can go with it, by the anything you wear five times a five times a there's no place for it. Then you somebody's conscious, the things we're pastor do, anybody with any authority, to throw the whole thing out. But you better be careful in doing it, not go too far. If you're in the bondage. You think, well, that fellow, he's gotta be walking on a tight rope. That's exactly why Paul said to pray for that fellow. Because he is on a tight rope. There's nobody in the congregation on a tight rope like the pastor. There's nobody in the body of Christ on a tightrope like the five-fold ministry. If the five-fold ministry recognize it, and the bride recognize it, we have a lot better bunch of groups among us. Now, see, I'm not hurting this morning, I'm helping. Pricking your conscience a bit. So if you pray, you're going to pray harder and more determined. Now, they must have authority and power. A lot of people don't like that, as I said a while ago. Let's go here to 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, John the 13th. If you take away heads, if you haven't got a thing in the church. He says, I got the Holy Ghost. That doesn't mean nothing. You think you got the Holy Ghost. You think you got the Holy Ghost. Does the Bible put men in order? You see, five million young folks who can claim to be this man who don't want the authority. I know why they don't want the authority. They want to be out here. All right. You read here. And we beseech your brethren to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Where are they? They're over you. Remember, though, he is the greatest of all the servant of all. And the higher up a man goes, the more he's got to do for the people to prove he's got that office given him. Fishing running off all the time. Well, I know Brother Dan went fishing and he was nervous and high strung. I saw him up the fishing, I go shopping, I think the fishing that's so nice. Yeah. Sure, that's no excuse. Well, I don't know how I'm nervous. I don't take care of the boss. I'm just hung in this yard. You better take some time. They get rid of them somehow, somewhere down the line. Something's got to happen. That's no excuse. Because they have got authority, they are the leaders, the Bible says. And they're over you, they admonish you, and it says, esteem them very highly in love for the work's sake. Now, I know it's hard. It's a little difficult when somebody rubs you the wrong way. You have the same, bit of love that you have for the guy that doesn't rub you the wrong way. But it says for the work's sake. See? For the sake of the work, you're to love and to commit obedience and to pray. Now, you see, praying is going to do two things. It's going to help the man that God put there, and it's going to help you. You see, when the man put there, does something for you or to you or with you. Right. That's why there's so much prayer needs. My brother Dan said, if you lost that seat, you should go back and pray. If you got something against somebody, you won't pray. I got a guy a little bang out of that. One sister, she keeps coming to my place and saying, you know, I found out that Brother So-and-so, or Sister So-and-so, son of a I just went to pray and prayed it up. But when the word of God was nailed down in her presence, she said, I'll never go back to believe. In other words, she nailed it down. She could never do what was right because the word came down. As long as there wasn't any word there making her mind up, oh, she could pray. It was great. How many this morning are you in that position? Well, that's wrong. I'm not here, fool. And I wasn't fooling, I preached to her. And she said, I'm not fooling with you, this morning I preach to you. What if this word comes against you? Are you off and go, Brother Dale, I can pray, sure I can pray. But when it comes to that word that nails you down, and somebody nails you down with that word, what do you like? You come, you can fight with me all you want, we can get a bigger hassle. But you let me know one time you're ready to make up, I'll turn just like that and help you. In fact, if you don't even help me, I'll come to your door and help you. And I'm criticizing you now, but love. I don't mind criticizing all you want to anybody else. I'm not saying that. I'm telling you God's truth. I'm just being man. Don't care how I feel or how I look. I haven't got a thing to do. Something in my heart says that would be you. See? Not something here that, you know, we think that, oh, I feel good about it, cute about it. As I told you, the wife checked with other Brother Branham, I couldn't figure this in the car that you were all singing about. Picked it out. You say, well, we said, you do those things for Christ, you don't want to do it. I said, yeah, he said that well. Somebody else gets the idea that you've got to do all this and all that. I was thinking about stuff one time, and I said, yeah, you people, you heard Brother Brown say that, you should be the first one at the door, can't wait for the door to open, and you could be asking to go to church. I said, well, I'll go to church, I'm that way many times. But we go anyway. You get the word of God justified, somebody over you, the brother Brown talk, the day will come when he'll never hear the truth. That man will come in the pulpit and you'll think he's saying exactly right. Right. If anything happens to him, it's very difficult then for what comes on. How much more than any prayer? They do, then it's much better. All right, going on. Their earthly are satisfied by the generosity of the people that they see. As Paul said, if it ain't great thing about it, if I eat of the flock, and that doesn't mean the flock. And the flock just means that they take part of what they got. You know, that's a very touchy thing. It really is. Every place I've been in my life, not here of course, but I mean the sense of where I've traveled around the world, and where I've passed and all, we've never passed around here. But I'll tell you one thing. The people made me sure that I knew that I was taken care of by them. Talk to him, he was safe, he was taken care of. And they just hold their side of that, they were there by me. Already. I've been cut many times by a lot of people. And that still doesn't make me want to stop giving, stop giving. In fact, if you've been took by anybody, you come to the place and say, I've got to give more, so this time it goes up. But how often has that come up? And how often do the people have it in their heart when they don't know that tithe is not there for its God? Now let me read you something right now to give you an idea about this whole thing. Because let me say this, I'm not touchy, and yet I am touchy. Huh? You don't mind me being honest. I couldn't get any help up. I'm sure you didn't. Mr. Warren, I wouldn't mind you taking now and telling them to cut your throat. No, I don't mean that. Just want to get your attention on it. Just get your attention. Listen. In verse 5 of Luke 16, if you have not been faithful in that which is another man, who shall give you that which is your own? Talking on stewardship. There's only one thing I've got in my pocket, and you've got it in your pocket, want to somebody else on the same consideration, and that's 10%. Now the Bible says, if you're not faithful with that, which doesn't belong to you, God will never give you what he will give you. You have touched your door. And I said it out there again. If people cannot be faithful in financial matters, the Bible says that God will never give a true spiritual thing. Let me see if I can find it. Verse 10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is also unjust in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous manner, who will commit unto you the true riches of God? How did any congregation that wants to decide the path, and he knows it. See? And he also knows because they didn't talk with you. And if people live with anybody, whatever you back to them for it. I say, how can anybody in the face of God's word not do that and disrespect and ever be in a right or anything else? Stand here. Now let's talk about the path. What about those who have a great big bunch come in and don't get rid of it, except look like King George? Now, I'll tell you just two about that. Or one about that bill. And it makes me wonder if my wife and I think we should write a lot of it. And I'm not driving any such imagination. I'm not making a credit to my money, so let me get out of it. Well, if I walk up on my side, go up here, and I meet you right and hold my hand up, and keep talking, and it's 30 down here, just like that. I'm not lying, I'm keeping my mind out. I won't be going to do that now, will you? Not going to know it, but I'm going to do it. Who is coming down, down? What is it? What is it? My son, my wife, my young man. I'm getting the whole thing. I talk about these songs, these songs, these songs, these songs. I'm getting the whole thing. Well, I'm getting the same note. Why pray? I'm getting the same note. This whole thing is going to be a crack. Like Paul said, you let someone come in, they'll end the sheep. Peter God. And the whole thing goes down. God doesn't mind. He says, oh, poor little people, I'm sorry for you. He tells you what you're supposed to do here, how you're supposed to do it. Then when you do a blessing and stand up and say, God, I'm living out here with God, God works among you. And you oppose the angel out of the glory of God, and then God comes in much better. No problem, God can't go. See? First thing you do put it in the back. See? Some get so tender, they don't even want to take it. Oh, you're just tempted, you guy. You're smart enough. Why do you get that kind of spirit on me? You mean, but you're giving that moment more. Should I work 40 hours a week when I was in my early 30s? about 30, 40, 30. But I work 40 hours a week and put in sexy camps and paint and put on tattoos and windows and no time to work and all that stuff. I wouldn't kill myself. And but it's pretty hot drinking and then you send a fresh turn of food, I did. Pregnant enough. The whole thing telling me that I left the spot.
I'm not saying you're taking that out, but open up, you can do what you want.
You do not get. I'm going on with God. I can't be somebody more for this, am I? I'm just going on. But God wants to know. I know the hearts of men, and I know the Bible. I know you good, and I know you. I know all of us. I really want to know God. And here's the God that indeed you are. How many people that we love, their passages and those that are trying to stand in the name? You know what I'm saying? Well, I preach this morning to you. You admit that we have what I'm talking about. We be just one true happy family. And that's exactly what Brother Bennett wanted. Look at this now. And be real sweet on this God we do. And how do you do? Thanks. And you get what prayer God is. Prayer is not everything in this respect. You pray to God and I pray to God till our spirits are under the control of His spirit. So no matter what comes up, we take it in the Word, by the Word, with the Word, and for the Word. That's right. Now, go on. For those who have 10,000 instructors in Christ, which you have come to be followers, for in Christ Jesus have I begotten you to the truth of the gospel. Therefore, I beseech you to be followers of me. Now, what a standard the preacher's got to hold up. You know that standard is so high, that man doesn't have a lot of prayer. I don't think he's going to make that. How do you know? I dwell in the face of what today, unless we need to get to praying for each other. And if these men have real dedicated prayer behind them, I just can't see them getting up to the standard that God set. Now, God wants this standard to demand it. And God demands prayer. Now, in closing, pray for each other. I'm not up here going to say, now you pray for the pastor, that's going to do the whole thing. No, you pray for each other. You know, it's impossible for anyone to really lay hold of God in prayer for anybody and not come to think of loving that person doing something like that. How much pain do we do for each other in the home? You know, I tell you. I never forget when Brother Brown told her in the family, and the brother said, some of them make the name God too. When he said that his wife had a devil, he wanted to cast a devil out of her. And Brother Brown said, well, Ernie, I'll tell you how to do it. Well, Ernie, he got this credit, he was all his eyes and nose and everything else. And Brother Brown said, ha ha ha. The brother, next one, he would read that, he's going to go down and cast a devil out of her. And he said, shoot. And the brother said, well, Ernie, what you do, you go downtown before he's in the morning. He's got beautiful both ears open, his eyes on, walk the chocolate, and you knock on the door, and she comes, you sweep in your arms and push her, and give her these gifts, and get out of the capital. And you know something, that's exactly right. But many times we think that you know, to be a wrong spirit in the church is nothing more than a human spirit has gotten down to a low level of proper spiritual interpretation. But the training in these things, they don't really feel right to each other because we haven't taken time and prayer to be right with each other. So praise each other. Keep praying to each other. I don't believe you're going to pray to me around the world. You know, all the people get up in the morning and they pray for the nation. Oh, Lord, that's the nation. Now, which is good. That's the missionary. And Lord, my God, that's the governor. That's good. We can pray for the governor. That's very good. You know, so long all the time, which I know one American takes that time. Of course. But we should pray. But we see, when Paul told you to do those things, which we don't neglect to do, he gave us something far more important. And that was to surveil in the spirit of the things of God. By no way. Because let's face it. You and I will never even die praying through too much indulgence. But oh, how we will be in the body of Christ. That word all comes. And let's face it, if we cannot pray into a place ourselves in the place of spiritual love and compatibility in the body of Christ, let's face it, the praying for the governor isn't going to be that much. See that thing? How good? Because the Bible says, if you don't love whom you do see, how can you say you love Christ and you don't see? See? That's right. If we can't take care of the situation here, how are we going to go out there? So pray for each other, because we need it. We pray for the past, and for those that live among you. Because you don't want to have something go out to you with the church. You say, well, I'd be blessed off as I come to you see. It's a certain talk around in the meantime. The Bible never says you're going to be talking. If you hold yourself to the Christ, there's no more talk. But now we would have two men to call you and somebody else. And by the time he says that, two men, he's one of us, he's so soft and torn. But maybe not all things, but soft and torn. Right? Sure, that. You want to talk about it. Why don't you have to sit in here and see something in your past and say, now look here, brother, we don't teach it that way. You ought to let him anoint because you under him. Well, I love that matter of fact. Something's wrong, you know. There you go. So, Fred, I've got this here for your faith. From now on, you're a devil and you want me. Get those in it. You have to say out loud, that's good. A lot of people have to say that, and I'm going to say out loud. They say, you can't talk it any other way. That's why Pentecost, that's a great fervency among them. Because you know what their fervency was? Merely the worship toward God. What did he give you here? And you know what happened? When a church like him, the fiend ran out their toe. And he had a gone look like he wouldn't see in a dear dead old Baptist church. I took him down and said, he asked, no, can I? No, can I? What's up? That's the other thing. Can I come down there? This guy, he's a big man of God. And I said, how come you stay with those old dead churches? With a Methodist church, not so long. And then the modern cousin, he said, there, he said, brother, I've had enough to hear of Christ. He said, it's so nice to go to something that old. Well, then he's got nothing, but then he's got no other. He's lucky, don't he? As the people, as many that have something, they're praying for each other. And praying for that pastor, listening to it, like the message that preached this morning, and doing it. Praying sincerely, you need to back up your prayer to back home the way. See, you do it with life, all together. If you had a church fight, they would have fizzled out. Because one drop of Holy Ghost water. See, a lot of extra that's not, though. Time to go to the Father. Time to go to this morning, Lord Jesus Christ. Can't pay you to have brought me into the Lord the way it should have been brought. But knowing this one thing, Lord, what we said, what's the truth? It's so fine, it can't be absolutely right. Now I pray, Lord, that your spirit will water. And cause the people, Lord Jesus, to have a real respect and love and understanding of each other. And thank you, those Lord, that you, in your own sovereignty, not by the will of man, but by the will of God, have put amongst your people, Lord, in order to help. And Lord, let the pastors and the elders and deacons and the apostles and whoever they are, the teachers and the bandits, whoever goes amongst them, Lord, and prophets, if you have any, Lord, amongst them at this minute, ministering. Lord, if whatever they are, we pray that your people may understand that this is their very life according to you. And they must be lifted up to the ministry that you are wanting to give to these men. Lord, may they learn to pray sincerely for their own sake as well as for the other. Knowing we're all in the Lord, not one of us long lived up. Lord, may we speak to each other. Just like the scripture said, if one member hurts, they all hurt. If one rejoices, they all rejoice. Lord, I realize I can do it with my little finger. I don't want to do it with my little finger. The whole body will suffer. Lord, may we all realize in these days to come, as we're praying, because we love we're praying, Lord, we're beating in here, Lord, we're pounding here, Lord, because things are getting desperate, oh God. We've got to come up, we've got to realize that. We help your people to see that this is one place where if they have failed, they're not failing anymore tonight. Surveying, eating, entreating, asking, oh God, howling, hungry, it's just there, and that they may have the word among them. Grant, Lord, that no false sheep come amongst us. No one to distract. Not even faithful brothers, Lord, we're all here and there. And oh God, I pray that sanctified and controlled on yourself, Lord. And every ear to be heard, full of the word of God, every mind that may be sent with the confidence into the high